Morning, everybody. As a sign of age. The first reading is from Genesis 45, verses 1 to 28, and you'll find this on page 50 of the Pew Bibles. Genesis 45, 1 to 28. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Make everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified in his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will not be ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. For your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have, I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honour accorded to me, Egypt, and all about everything you have seen. And bring my father down here quickly." Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan, and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you can enjoy the fat of the land. You are also directed to tell them, do this. Take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives, and get your father and come. Never mind about your belongings, because the best of all Egypt will be yours." So the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts, as Pharaoh had commanded. And he also gave them provisions for their journey. To each of them he gave new clothing. But to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. And this is what he sent to his father: 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they were leaving, he said to them, "Don't quarrel on the way." So they went out of Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They told him, "Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is ruler of all Egypt." Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, "I'm convinced My son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. The second reading is Philippians 1, 12 to 30, and it's on page 1178 of the Pew Bibles. Philippians 1, 12 to 30. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains with Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living to the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Didn't Dave do well? But they're good readings, aren't they? Just check with this one's turned on. Right. Well, it's nice to be with you, and it's a lovely day. I'm pleased it wasn't the weather we had yesterday. Perhaps you wouldn't be. Okay. These readings are actually the lectionary readings for the Book of Common Prayer. And so I take it that they would have been the readings for this Sunday for around 400 years. And of course we know what today is, November the 5th, remember. And I'm intrigued whether these readings were chosen with a view to the fact that it is the Sunday nearest November the 5th. I don't know if that's the case. But the thing that came up in the verse that the children had this morning, he said, Don't be afraid, to his brothers. This is Joseph in chapter 50. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. And then it goes on to say, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And of course, in that world of the time, they'd stored up the grain from 7 good years. So I think many years had passed since Joseph had been sold into the hands of the travellers. And he would have had many hard years. But the reading we had this morning was the result of it, really, wasn't it? That as a result, grain was stored up for 7 years. He was able to feed the known world all around them during the 7 years that were the lean years where there was no harvest. But it was so that God might save many lives. And of course, it does tie in with November the 5th. And I only just realised very recently, it wasn't just about the fact that Guy Fawkes and his colleagues wanted a Catholic England once again instead of a Protestant England. It was also because the King, on the 5th of November, was going to present to Parliament the idea of uniting England with Scotland. And that was in Guy Fawkes' confession, that he didn't want that. And, that's interesting. And, of course, many lives would have been lost if chaos would have ensued, wouldn't it, if Parliament had been blown up. And but James's wish did happen about 100 years later when England was united with Scotland. But anyway, I find it fascinating that these readings have been on this Sunday over the centuries, the Sunday closest to November the 5th. Sorry, I will take my watch off. I'm going to time this. And we'll get into the text of those two wonderful readings. And I would think, well, God might well have spoken to you already, because those readings contain a lot of interesting truths that can actually touch our lives. Okay. So there it is. I'm not used to choosing a title for my talk, so it's a new discipline for me, and I've been doing that at another church as well, and I found it, hopefully you'll think, yes, he did get there, it did say what he called it, but that doesn't matter if you think otherwise, because we're looking at God's word and God will speak to us through it anyway. Okay, so, and I've already said this, but for many years things would have been going badly in Joseph's life, but then there was a change. But through those years, Joseph was faithful to God, and God was doing something truly wonderful. And yes? Technology. I'll boom without it if you like, but thank you. So through those hard years, Joseph remained faithful, and much amazing amount of fruit resulted from his act of faithfulness. God was able to use him in a wonderful way to save many lives, not just the children of Israel, the early members of the Jews, but also the whole known world in that area where the famine had struck. And God wants to do that today in our world as well. So please pray when you see bad things happening to people around the world. Keep praying for them. God wants to help them to save many lives. So, and I will refer to Joseph as well as Paul, but mainly I'm going to look at the Philippians reading. Because once again, God was doing something truly wonderful. Paul was still in prison when he wrote this letter. I mean, Joseph had had his years in prison, but Paul was still going through it. But he's so incredibly positive. because God was doing something truly wonderful again in the spread of Christianity in the first century. And partly because of Paul's faithfulness, we have a third of the New Testament was written by him. Much of it was written while he was in prison. And it helped the people at the time. It helped the people he was chained to, which he mentions in that passage, as well as the people he was writing to. A number of those guards became Christians. That's referred to in other scriptures. He would have been chained to more than one guard at a time. There were probably several dozen of the guards that Paul was able to share his faith with while in prison. And he writes this letter to all God's holy people, so he's writing it to you, not just to the people of the time. And so I'm going to look at some of the things that led to the fruitfulness through their faithfulness. So Joseph had a great caring love for his own people and is full of hope for their future in this reading. Paul had a great caring love for other believers and is full of spiritual confidence for the people he's writing to. And some of them he would never have met, but he says to them that God will complete what he intends for you because of your faith in Christ. So he's got great hope for all that God is doing, even though he's in a hard situation. Because, of course, Jesus is alongside Paul, suffering with him as he suffers with you and me, with what we go through. And there's no word of complaint that I know of from Joseph at all in the, I think it's 12 or 13 chapters of the Old Testament. And you don't get any word of complaint from Paul either about the hard things that they go through. And in fact, Paul says that his chains, his time in prison, is advancing the gospel. And in fact, Paul, in verse 13, says that he isn't a prisoner of Rome. He's actually a prisoner of the Lord. And he sees that as a great thing to be. It's just wonderful how he can look at a negative situation in such an incredibly positive way. And that, I think, is for us a message today. What in your situation that you find yourselves in is trapping you? There's a psalm I read this morning that said, it's Psalm 71 verse 20, says, "Though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again." And that is the spirit that you see Paul operating in this reading. "Though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again." And it's, I mean, often I turn to the Psalms when I'm struggling, because you find these incredible truths in the Psalms of those that have been through this sort of thing before, and they know that because of God being with us, all will be well. At some point it will all change. Paul saw another positive in the fact that he was chained, one I've already mentioned, that actually the guards themselves, he was able to share his faith with them. And later in the scriptures we see that some of them have become Christians too. And these are high-powered soldiers. They're not just, you know, a standard soldier. They are in the Roman palace of the emperor. But he also says that it's helping the Christians of the time become more confident in the Lord. And it's helping them to share their faith in hard situations, to be bolder and to not be fearful. So, and Paul then ponders the situation of whether he's able to visit the Philippians again. And he says that he thinks for their benefit it is good if he keeps on living, because he can encourage them. And that brings in the topic of mentors, because Paul encourages them in their faith. And hopefully you've all got Christian mentors, people that you can look up to, and maybe through not just meeting them, but maybe through reading their writing and watching them on videos and things, they can encourage you in your faith. And one of the mentors I have is Selwyn Hughes with Everyday with Jesus books. I mean, Selwyn's no longer alive, but I've over the years used his books and his daily devotionals. And there's something that I read only yesterday that I thought fits in with Paul and Joseph, how they got through the hard times in such a positive way that can help us to do the same. And so I'll just read to you a little section. There is little we can do to stop darkness descending. So this is hard situations in our lives. But there is a lot we can do to discover its hidden treasure. So whenever you find yourself in a place of darkness, hold fast to the idea that what matters is not so much what is happening to you as the meaning you can discover in it. Sorrows, griefs, losses, disappointments, and difficult experiences, they can, however, be times of spiritual growth and development, provided we stand up to them with the right attitude. And the right attitude is this: God will allow nothing to come into your life unless it can be used. When you realize that you can use everything, then you need not be afraid of anything. And Paul tackles this topic of fear to these believers in Philippi, that his example was helping them to be bold in hard situations. And I was interested listening to the radio, as I do Radio 4 usually when I'm in the car, and there was the lady who had produced the Disney film. Oh, it's the one of Frozen. So she's the first female director that's directed a film that's made over $1 billion. I guess that's dollars. And they were interviewing her. She came over because Disney has just celebrated 100 years of being in existence. And it was just a fascinating lady to listen to in this interview. And she was saying that Frozen, that the idea behind it, and I haven't seen Frozen, I've seen snippets of it, and I know it's been really popular, but it's to teach children that love can overcome fear. And I thought, that's really interesting. But this is what Paul's talking about, partly in this reading as well, that God's love at work within you can overcome all fear. It can conquer it, that's it. Conquer was the word she was using. So, and role models can help us in this regard. But Paul says, but even if I can't get to you, all will be well. Now, I mean, that's what he would like, is to be with them again, to encourage them. But it's Christ within us that is the key. He says, verse 27, whatever happens, if I can't get back to you, if I can't help you anymore, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, which he had been doing, which Joseph had been doing, if you like, in his Old Testament way. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. And this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, because people are driven often by fear. And if not by love, you know, we can think, well, perhaps the opposite of love is hate. But actually, fear is the opposite of love. I'm not saying hate isn't, but fear as well is the opposite of love. There is perfect love drives out fear. Another wonderful scripture, isn't it? So, just one concrete example, and again, it was from this reading yesterday from Selwyn Hughes that I had. He says of a gentleman who was depressed, a Christian man who's depressed. So it's another form of darkness that we are prone to. And it was not a chemical, it wasn't because of an imbalance in his body. It was because of a jaundiced view of himself and the world around him that made him depressed. And he says, my depression was a signal that I needed to reshape my lifestyle and change my way of thinking. When I did this, the depression fell away. This man's depression, this darkness, when he looked at it, because it could be used for good, brought about change in his life. It became a blessing in disguise. It made him review how he looked at life. And because of God, the pain wasn't an enemy. It could be used to help him. And then he could help others who were also depressed in a similar sort of way. And he gained a better and fuller life. Okay. So, I'm going to finish my talk now. I think we'll pray. because it might have brought up something. The scripture, maybe what I've said, might have brought up something. And God, let's ask God to help us. Because I believe we all have weaknesses that God can address in this sort of context so that we might thrive rather than struggle so much in life. Okay. So I'm going to say a prayer and then we will just pause and for you to have your own prayer. Lord, I pray that you will sustain me and each of your children who desire to live faithfully in Jesus Christ. May we all take up our cross daily and endure the trials and tribulations that come across our paths. May we do this for the heavenly joy that is set before us, not just at the end of our lives, but also in this life. Knowing that Jesus himself walked this way before us, but has broken the power of sin and death in our lives, so that in his strength we too may receive spiritual strength and faithfulness to run the race that is set before us. Sustain us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so an opportunity for you to just bring whatever need you have to God. And Lord, I just pray in a few moments of silence that you would minister to those who call on you right now. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. Should we join together in saying the grace for one another? Because it's asking for God's richest blessings. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen. Thank you. I'm sure if anyone wants to talk further, leaders of the church and myself are available to you later and to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you.